Hello, I'm Renee Kramer, welcoming you to the FWC podcast, where we are bringing faith to life. To learn more about service times and discipleship classes, please visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. Now grab your Bibles and get ready for today's sermon.
A few weeks ago, as I was reading, I ran across a passage that the Lord began to speak to me on this passage. And so today, and I've chosen to read this passage because the self-righteous or the holier-than-thou people, maybe not you sitting here, but those on watching us, they said, I can't believe they put a scarecrow in the church. Well, just follow along with me in this scripture first. Amen? So I'm going to read from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. And this it says here that, hear the word of the Lord, hear the word the Lord speaks to you, O Israel. This is what the Lord says. Do not act like the other nations who try to read their future in the stars. Do not be afraid of their predictions, even though their nations are terrified by them. Their ways are futile and foolish. They cut down trees, and a craftsman carves an idol. They decorate it with gold and silver, and they fasten it securely with hammer and nails so it won't fall over. Their gods are like helpless scarecrows. Now I'm safe. It's in the Bible. It can be in the church. So their gods are like helpless scarecrows in a cucumber field. They cannot speak, and they need to be carried because they cannot walk. Do not be afraid of such gods, for they can neither harm you nor they do any good. So first of all, we just wanted to clarify that the scripture talks about a scarecrow. And if the scripture talks about it, I can talk about it. So I just want to clear it up. He's not, might have a like image, you know, he's got my shirt and got Becky's nightgown and, you know. I did do some decorating to it, but praise the Lord. Is everybody good with the scarecrow sitting in the church? All right, praise the Lord. Amen. Give the scarecrow a hand. Praise the Lord. So, you know, what I want to talk to you about, when I read this passage, the Lord began to speak to me about many of the church, many of the Christians are afraid. Much of the church is afraid. And we're afraid of foolish things sometimes. We're afraid of things that the enemy throws out at us. And we forget that the enemy is, all he wants to do is, see, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's what he wants to do from us. And so there's objects or things that come out as scarecrows. Now, in the background, we have a picture of a scarecrow. Now, it's a lot uglier than mine, but I want you to take notice of the fence on the side there. There's a lot of birds that are on the fence. Well, I ran across this story, and I want to read this man's dream. Now, this was a preacher, so to speak. I'm assuming the story's real, but anyway, I ran across this and I read it, and the man says that in his dream he saw a very long power line running from pole to pole. On the power line were several thousand birds sitting there screaming, and he could tell that they were fussing and complaining about something. He said he looked down from the power line, and there was a huge field of very ripe strawberries. The birds were of all sizes and making loud noises. Some of the birds were falling off the power line, starving to death. He pondered, why are they dying hungry while there is food covering many acres? Food aplenty. And he says, then my eyes glanced over the field, and there was one stick-looking scarecrow, a straw man in tattered clothing, hanging on a stick in the middle of the strawberry patch. The scarecrow had the birds paralyzed by fear. The scarecrow was using fear, and yet he was harmless, and he could do nothing but breed fear. The more fear he announced, the more fear there was. Later, the man says, he looked down on the scarecrow and he saw one big fat bird eating a juicy strawberry, and he was grinning from ear to ear. He was not afraid of the scarecrow. The scarecrow is a tool that frightens away, but he can do no harm. And so every once in a while, you'll see this picture in movies and shows, and there's scarecrow, and there's always scarecrows on the background just looking over the field, looking at it, starving. He says, oh, man, I wish I could have that fruit. I wish I could eat of that fruit, but I'm afraid of that scarecrow. But it takes one, and there's always one bird that's a little bolder than the others, and that crow will come and land right on the shoulder of the scarecrow. You know what he's doing? He's whispering in his ear, I ain't afraid of you. You can't do nothing to me. You watch me. I'm going to go eat that strawberry. And he goes down and he gets that strawberry. And he eats that strawberry. But he begins to enjoy while many others are afraid. So many are afraid. And then we read the scripture Sister Becky read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. And it says that stay alert. Well, you know, when you see that, it's giving you a warning that we are to stay alert to the things around us. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy. I love that it says he's a great enemy. Not just a small enemy, but a great enemy. The great enemy, the devil, is what the scripture says. He prowls around like a roaring lion. He prowls around like something that he is not. The scarecrow stands there, and when the wind blows, you know, it moves and it shakes, and sometimes there will be tin cans or something on it, so it'll rattle and make noise, and it scares the birds away, and they won't eat of the fruit. If you got a garden, you want a scarecrow. But you know, in everyday Christian life, we don't need scarecrows in our life. And that's what we've developed many times. It said, stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. This is a powerful scripture that is teaching us right here. How we are to act when we've sensed the spirit of fear that tries to come upon the church, try to paralyze the church. We are to stand strong in our faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. The great enemy is the devil. But he manifests in the form today. He manifests in the form of the media and of governments, government leaders. How many are an avid news watcher? You go ahead and be honest. I know some of you in here, you don't want to let me know it, but you are. And when you watch news, because I hear it when I talk to some people, they tell me of all the bad stuff that's getting ready to happen. And because they watch the news. The news wants to paralyze the people with fear. It spreads fear. And the more the news talks, the more fear that comes upon people. And we've just seen a great example here a couple of years ago with the pandemic. That the more they talked about it, the more fear they had. And people had so much fear that they tried to belittle and criticize us that didn't have fear. Every time I would go someplace without my mask, which was every place because I didn't wear a mask, I just refused to do it. And I went to Lowe's every day. And I'd get all them people looking at me like, you're one of them. You're one of them. No, I wasn't one of them. You were listening to one of them. But, you know, I didn't let fear grip me. And you know, God will bless you. But I'm going to tell you, the media and a lot of our government, they use this tactic. They try to present fear. They try to scare the citizens. They try to scare the people. And if they can keep one in fear, then they can proceed with their agenda. And that's what it is. There's an agenda. And the agenda of the enemy, which has gotten into the media, the enemy has gotten into a lot of government, and the agenda of the enemy has never changed. John 10:10, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he wants to do. It's a simple message. The enemy wants to do three simple things. He wants to kill you. He wants to steal everything that you've had or have now, or anything that you would have to pass on. And he wants to destroy everything about you. Your legacy, your children, your grandchildren, everything. That's his agenda. If anyone says the devil has another agenda, they haven't read the Bible. The Bible says he comes only for one purpose: steal, kill, and destroy. And he has an agenda. And so he got into the media. Now, I know the media people probably just turned us off on Facebook again, or the government, whatever. But this is where he's operating. And if he can get us glued to the television, then we will be in fear all the time. And I got that right. Those that caught it. But as we look at the scarecrow, you know, man has been able to keep birds from their wheat and their rice fields and their strawberry patches and through the use of man-like creatures erected, the scarecrows, to keep away the things in our field. But in a real sense, these structures, these objects, are completely harmless to the birds. They're completely harmless to the birds and pose no danger to them. And they succeed in keeping them from devouring our fields through their presence. Well, you know, you look at the scarecrow and you said, well, it keeps the dumb birds away. But when you think about this, when you think of a scarecrow, why don't they call it a scare bird? Or scare parrot, or scare sparrow, or a scare robin. But they call it a scarecrow. If you look up and research the crow is one of the most intelligent birds out there. It is one of the most intelligent birds there is. Did you realize that? How many ever heard that the crow was one of the most intelligent birds there is? It is. It can communicate in 80 different bird languages. It can mimic sounds that it hears from automobiles and people and different things. It can mimic sounds. It's very intelligent. A scarecrow, when you see the crows all devour on something and one or two are up in the trees, what's going on? They're watchmen. When danger comes, they have a sound. But what will happen every once in a while, the one sitting up in a tree will fly down and one on the ground will fly up in a tree. They never feed without having a watchman. The Bible tells us that we are to be watchmen on the wall. We are to be aware of the enemy. When the enemy comes, we need to alarm the people. And the scripture tells us that if we don't alarm the people of the dangers, then the blood will be on our hands for not warning those. So the church needs to warn the people that there is an enemy that's come to steal, kill, and destroy. And there's many images of a scarecrow that we paint a picture of and we place it in front of us that puts us in fear. It paralyzes us that we can't move. Now, Sister Becky asked, had anybody ever heard the lion roar? And many have heard that in a zoo, and you may be on one side of the zoo, and it's on the other side. But I've had the privilege of being in Africa, being in a safari into the wild, into the jungle, and we heard the lion roar. And wow, it paralyzes you in your tracks. And then your guide says, oh, that's 4 to 5 miles. 4 to 5 miles. It's further than, it's downtown Bardstown on the court square. And it's roaring, and you can hear it out here. Think of it. But it's 5 miles away, and you froze in your tracks because you heard the sound. 5 miles away. How many believe, I know some of you are out of shape and slow, but how many believe you can get out of the way of a lion if it roars and he's 5 miles away? Amen. Amen. I think most of us can handle that feat. So, but the problem is when he roars in the jungle, every animal scurries away in fear. There's a lion in this vicinity. I'm out of here. It leaves. Well, that's what the media has done with their sound. They're sounding off about things that is scaring the church. So, you know, many Christians are just like the bird sitting on the line. Those birds will soon sit on that line and starve to death and fall to their death and starvation instead of face the scarecrow. Many of the church would rather sit in poverty, stay in sickness, stay in distress and turmoil than face the scarecrow that's in front of them. We're afraid. Much of the church is afraid. We live in a nation where the gospel is freely preached, but we're afraid to act it out. We're afraid to speak of it. The media has told us that you can't speak of religion at your workplace. You can speak of religion at your workplace. You can talk of anything at your workplace. Now, if a person doesn't want to hear it, you can't force it on them. You just find somebody else. You know, they cannot control you. Some places, Walmart or Kroger's, I've heard stories of Walmart especially telling people, you can't pray for people in our store. You can't tell me, it's freedom of speech. If somebody wants to listen, I have a right to talk to them. Now, I can't pester somebody and walk them around and run them down trying to make them take my track and tell them that they're going to hell. You know, I'm not talking about going out there and pestering or being after somebody. You just got turned off. I got a red light up here, so... Anyway, what the enemy is trying to... Becky, come on. So, praise the Lord. But the enemy wants to shut your mouth. He wants to shut your mouth. That's the purpose. That's the purpose. So, Christians, we have to behave a little different than what we have. Fear per se itself, fear is not harmful. You know, it's okay to have some type of fear, but not fear that paralyzes you. And I don't want to get into all that. It's a whole new thing. But it has succeeded in paralyzing many of the church today. The Bible tells us that the devil, what he's like, he's not the lion. He's like the lion. He is a scarecrow lion, which cannot harm you or whatever, but he has the potential of keeping the church off of their blessings. I want you to turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, I'm going to show you a story that basically a scarecrow has stood before the people, and he paralyzed the king and the entire king's army. But there was one bird, a David bird, that wasn't afraid of the scarecrow. And we're gonna talk about David and Goliath. And we're going to pick it up in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 20. It says, so David left the sheep. Now, I'm going to just catch you up real quick. David's brothers had went to war. They were part of Saul's army. And David was tending sheep. And his father said, come, I need you to take some food to your brothers and report back how everything is going. And so, verse 20, so David left the sheep with another shepherd, and he set out early the next morning with the gifts, as Jesse had directed him. He arrived at the camp just as the Israelite army was leaving for the battlefield, and with shouts and battle cries. So here's the army, and they're getting ready. It's like the church has just been hyped up, been psyched out. They've been having a pep rally. Here we go. We're going out to battle. We're going to get victory, for victory is mine in the name of the Lord. And we get all pumped up like we do in worship on Sunday morning. Amen? So here's the army, and they're headed out to the field, and they get out to the battlefield, and they get out to the battlefield, and as soon as Israelites, came the Philistines' forces stood facing each other, army against army, David left the things with the keeper of supplies and hurried out to the ranks of the great to greet his brothers. And as he was walking with them, Goliath, this is my Goliath this morning. Goliath, you'll be all right. It's Goliath. See, he's not quite 9 foot, but he's up there. So Goliath comes out. And as Goliath, the Philistine champion of Gath, he came out and from the Philistines' ranks. Then David heard him shout his usual taunt to the army of Israel. And as soon as the Israelites' army saw him, they began to run away in fright. And here we are. We are the army of the Lord. We're ready for battle. Come on, let's go. We got to shout. And we go out and we hear the scarecrow. Ooh, I'm getting out of here. Let the preacher stand up there. I am out of here. And what we do, we come and we get pumped up on Sunday. We get pumped up in our worship. And then the preaching starts. And then when the preaching starts, and the preacher's talking about, you can have your healing. Oh, well, wait a minute now. I was pumped up and I was ready to receive it a while ago, but you don't know my situation. And then we get over, we talk about, you can be delivered. Oh, I've tried that before. It didn't work for me. We get fear. Fear comes in. Because there's some type of scarecrow that has stepped in between us and our army and ourselves. And it says that the Israelites, as soon as they heard it, they saw him. They began to run away. Have you seen the giant? Oh, preacher, you don't know what I go through. You don't know how big the things I face. Oh, if you could just see my situation. And we start building it up. We get done, and some of you can build up the biggest giant, the biggest scarecrow that I've ever heard of. Man, it is a force. It is a force. And then, all right, Lord, I'll get there. Lord just gave me another pass I didn't even have written down. I have to go there in a minute. So, David heard him shout and taunt the armies of Israel. And as soon as the Israelites' army saw him, they began to run away in fright. Have you seen the giant? The men asked. He comes out each day and defies Israel. CNN comes on each day with a new fear tactic to defy the enemy. He's out there every day. Every day there's a new story. Every day there's a new fear. Every day they tell you how you're not going to make it. Every day they tell you senior citizens, your Social Security is going to dry up, going to go away. They're going to take it away from you. You ain't going to be able to live. They put fear on us. That's their job. That's what Goliath's job was. It says, then it says this. The king has offered a huge reward. Somebody tell somebody, he said, huge reward. A huge reward. To anyone who kills him, he will give that man one of his daughters for a wife. And the man's entire family will be exempt from paying taxes. You know, it reminds me of the story that they said that a king had this big castle, and there was a big moat around the castle, a big ditch filled with water, full of alligators. And the king said, any man that will jump in that moat and swim across, I'll give him my daughter, and I'll give him riches galore, if any man is brave enough. And about that time, this guy goes in the water. He swims like crazy and jumps out the other side. And the king was astonished and said, wow, man, I've never seen such bravery. Man, where did this bravery come from? What do you got to say for yourself? I just want to know who it was that pushed me in. Well, today I'm here to push some of you in. I want to push you in so that you can swim and defeat the enemy. Amen? But the king was going to do all of his great stuff. And David, he realized that Goliath was only but a scarecrow. You say, how could he do that? It was so big. But see, you forgot David's story. David had already had victories. David had already killed the lion. David had already killed the bear. David had already seen God come through time and time again. And David looked at this thing and he said, this is nothing for my God. This is nothing for my God. But Goliath had instilled fear from the king Saul to the lowest of those in his army. You don't realize the story that there was not one man in the army of Saul that would stand before Goliath. Not one. How many thousand did he have? Well, Justin will give me that number in a minute. Well, he rattles them off. There's thousands of them. They watched as Goliath abused them, abused their God, their king, and they just watched in amazement. They just watched. And all the men of Israel, they fled from him because they were afraid. Well, what did David do? David, first of all, he told Saul, this is no match for my God. How many are looking at your scarecrow, the thing that's between you and your blessing, and say, this is no match for my God? If you don't get that in your vocabulary, you're going to stay defeated all the time. You have to understand, this is no match for my God. David realized that. He wasn't listening to the roar of Goliath. Matter of fact, it tells us in verse 32 of chapter 17, David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go. I'll go, and I'll fight this Philistine. That's what you want to hear. I'll go and fight this Philistine. He's no match. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistine, to fight with him, for you're nothing but a young youth. He is a man of war from his youth. I think he was just a big blowhard. David wasn't looking at the giant. You know what David was looking for? He's looking for the reward, for the victor. Because it says again that after David talked to Saul, that in verse, or back up in verse 30, before he went to talk to Saul, he walked over to some of the other soldiers in verse 30. He walked over to some of the others and he asked them the same thing, receiving the same answer. He said, hey, tell me again what King Saul's going to do for the man that kills this dude? Tell me again what I'm going to get. You know, sometimes what you have to look, you have to go to the scripture and you have to say, God, tell me again what you're going to do for me. You know, what's that promise say? Oh, that I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. You know, I have victory in Jesus every time. Some people just believe you have victory in Jesus some of the times. But how many knows that he comes through every time? He'll come through every time. He is our victory. But we just got to remove this thing from our promise. Because the reward that David was seeking was behind this thing. And David wasn't worried about, well, what would Daddy say? What if I get killed and everything? What am I going to get? Tell me again. Tell me what I'm going to get. Oh, man. Isn't that right? Let me look at his daughter. Whew. Boy, that one's pretty. I think I'll take him on. I'll kill his brother for two of them. But, you know, he was ready. He was ready because he knew what God would do. That's why we have to remember the victories. How many's ever had prayed and you had victories? You had victories? You know when you had the most victories in your life? Think about it. You've had the most victories, not after you learned a lot of scripture. You had the most victories when you first got saved. When you first got saved, when you first heard the gospel preached, and you heard that God will forgive you of your sins, and you heard that God will save you and deliver you, and God will give you blessing, and you prayed that sinner's prayer, and you said, wow, it works. I feel free. God has lifted the burden from me. I'm saved. I'm born again. And, oh, God, would you bless me? And boom, just like that. Because your faith is up here. And that person that gets saved, they run around telling everybody about salvation, about how good it is and how the blessings are and how God will meet your needs and how God will do this for you and do that for you. And then they run across some seasoned Christian. Some salty, dried up season. You know, you got to put salt on something dried out, some things. But not the good, not the salt up there. I'm talking about the salty. That old dried up, preserved Christian. And they say, well, you're running wild right now, but calm down. You'll be like me later on. You won't believe any of that kind of stuff. You'll just kind of go through the motions. And that's what happens. We go from being on fire. We go from believing that we can leap over the wall, jump, climb the mountain, that God will defeat every enemy before it, that the glass will fall, to believing, oh, I can't do nothing. I can't do this and that. We come to church. We hear a preaching. You go home. You're sitting there and at 4 o'clock, you flip on your phone. You hear a sermon of somebody that you follow. And you say, wow, man, woo, I feel good. Then 6 o'clock, we turn the news on. Oh, woe is me. It's going to all come crashing down. We're not going to make it to the mar. I better go bury my money in the backyard. You know, we get in so much fear. Because I should have put CNN right here on there. That's what I should have put right on that pocket. Because that would have hit home with some folks. But we walk in fear. Because of the enemy. You know, let's see what time it is. Oh, I got plenty of time. But praise the Lord. I got to find a scripture. Jamie, I need you to do something. There's a, under this dress someplace, there's a little button right over here. Lower that thing down and then set it down on the floor. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for a scripture here the Lord laid upon me here just a moment ago. I think I think it's Isaiah 14, what I'm looking for. All right, I'm going to need some help to find this scripture here. Verse 16. Okay. It says that, when back up to verse, starts out in 12. Verse 12, there it is. The scripture, I think I need to back up another verse. Verse maybe 9. Verse 11, your mighty and power were buried with you. The sound of the harp in the place has ceased. This is Isaiah chapter 14. I'm in verse 11. Now maggots are your sheet and worms are your blanket. How you have fallen from heaven, O shining star. Verse 12, that's where I really want to start at. How you have fallen. Did you put that as low as it would go? Was that as low as that little button would go? All right. I thought it went lower than that. All right. I know. But it's okay, maybe the block is keep. Okay. All right. It won't go any lower. That'll be all right. That'll be good enough. I wanted it a little lower. It'll be fine. All right. How you have fallen from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning. You have been thrown down to the earth. You who destroyed the nations of the world. Now, who am I talking about here? I'm talking about Lucifer falling from heaven. And Lucifer has fallen from heaven, and he's been thrown down to the earth. And the scripture here is talking about how you've fallen from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning. You have been thrown down to the earth, you who destroyed the nations of the world. For you said yourself, I will ascend to the heaven and set my throne above God's stars. I will preside on the mountain of the gods far away in the north. I will climb to the highest heavens and be like the Most High. Instead, you will be brought down to the place of the dead, down to the lowest depths. Everyone there will stare at you and ask. Here's what's happening to Lucifer, the devil. That everyone's afraid of. In the last days, it says that we will, let me go back to it. Everyone, verse 16, everyone will stare at you and ask, can this be the one who shook the earth, who made the kingdoms of the world tremble? Is this the one who destroyed the world and made it into a wasteland? Is this the king who demolished the world's greatest city and had no mercy on its prisoners? It says in the last day that when Satan is defeated, the church, the Christians, will look at it and say, is this the thing? Is this the thing that made the earth tremble? And what you have to do, you have to say, is this the thing that kept me in fear? Is this the thing that kept me from receiving my blessings? Is this the thing that kept me in sickness, that kept me in bondage? It says that they will gaze at him. But the scripture says that his head has a bruise on it, and my heel has a bruise. His head will be crushed, my heel will be bruised. But every once in a while, when the enemy is standing in front of you, you just got to get warmed up. Say, I'm getting ready to take you down. I've got a rock in my pocket. And I got a slingshot. And when you hit the ground, just like David took that sword, took your sword and cut your head off, I'm going to take my heel and I'm going to crush your head. And we're going to have victory. But too many of you won't get warmed up. You won't get fired up. You won't be looking at him. You got to get ready for something. I'm going to tell you what, you got to get like some of these kids, get all psyched up for that game. Boy, you think they're in a world championship. They get out there, they get riled up, they can take on anything. But are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to take on the enemy? Scarecrows. And I had several other illustrations on scarecrows throughout the scripture, but I don't feel like the Lord wants to go there right now. I really feel that he's saying, we got to get an image of the scarecrow in front of us. Your scarecrow may be cancer. Your scarecrow may be a coffin, a casket. Your scarecrow may be an empty bank account. Your scarecrow may be a needle. Maybe a bottle of pills. Your scarecrow can be a last defeat that you ever suffered. And we build them things up. And we say, oh, I don't want to face that again. I don't want to go do that again. You know, I don't want to get too close to Jesus, because every time I do, the enemy comes at me. Bring him on. You know, I remember back years ago. I did this years ago, when the enemy would make me mad. You know what I do, David? When he really made me mad, did something, stole from me, cheated me somehow, I said, that's going to cost you. And I'd go out and start witness until I got somebody, snatch him out of his camp, won him to the Lord. He hates that worse than anything. He hates for a person to get born again. You know, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, the devil is trying everything to plug your ears. He's trying everything he can. He's not telling you the truth. He's not doing this and that. That's not right. He's doing everything he possibly can to keep you paralyzed, sitting in your seat, that you won't step out and receive salvation. If you're here and you're sick in your body, the enemy says, oh, that stuff don't work. You won't be healed. They don't have any power. He's trying to paralyze you into your seat so that you will not receive your healing today. You're here today and you need a breakthrough financially. You know, the devil is telling you, oh, that won't happen for you. You can't be blessed. You were born on the other side of the tracks. You don't have the right job. You don't have the right name. He's trying to paralyze you. He's trying to keep you in fear. He's trying to stop you. I know there's some millionaires sitting in the church because I've been praying for you for too many years. And some fear has stood in between you and your millions. Some scarecrow has stood between you. But some of you need to get your rock. And you need to aim it. And you need to take him down. Just like that. One finger. You liked that, didn't you? One finger. One stone. One prayer. One moment, and your scarecrow's gone. So, Micah, come and drag him off over there, because I don't want nobody looking at the scarecrow, because we've defeated him. And if you get your eyes on the scarecrow, you won't get your eyes on the victory. You won't get your eyes up on the prize. David says, what am I going to get? What am I going to get? What am I going to get if I come down front, Karen? Get set free. Woo! Like that. Lou, what am I going to get if I come down front? Healing. Well, I like that. Wow. Susie, what am I going to get if I come down front? Financial blessings. Woo! It's getting better all the time. Amen. The point is, you're either paralyzed by fear, you're paralyzed by your where you are in your genealogy. See, I was going to talk about Gideon. Gideon was paralyzed by a scarecrow of fear. But you've got to step out. Today, you can break the barriers of scarecrows in your life. You can break it today. And there's no one in this room can tell you what you can have in Christ and what you can't have. The Bible tells you what you can have. Because I may tell you you can have this or that, and the Lord says, I had so much more. You know, it's like when when the king was dying. I can't remember all of the scripture, but Elisha came to him, and he's talking about victory, and he told him, take the arrows and strike the ground. Is that right? Is that Elijah that did that? Anyway, I'll get to it. I'll correct it later. But the king, that the prophet told him, take your arrows and strike the ground. Because he was asking, will I have victory? And he took his arrows and he went, one, two, three. And he stopped. And the prophet said, you foolish. You should have kept on striking the ground. Because then you would have had victory until you totally defeated the enemy. But by since you only did it three times, you're going to get three small blessings. The more that you press in, the more you fight the enemy, the more victory you're going to have. This morning, the scarecrow has been defeated. He's been knocked down, torn over, and thrown out of the church. Amen. And it doesn't matter whether it's a Goliath that stands in front of you. It doesn't matter if it's a small thing or if it's even a sound or what it is. You have victory. You have victory in Jesus. You need to tell someone, I got some victory today. I think I got more than you, but I got victory. I'm blessed. I'm going to receive everything the Lord has for me. Are you going to receive it? Are you going to have victory?
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to sow a seed into our ministry, text the word GIVE to 833-613-0523. For more sermons and content like this, please subscribe and like this podcast and visit our website at fwcbtown.org. Or visit us on Facebook at FWCBtown. And remember, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost.